Thank you for listening to Gateway Sermon of the Week. For more information, please contact us at igateway.org.
This morning we have a special guest speaker. Stephen Bell will be with us. We've known Stephen for about the last four years or so. Stephen has run a number of supernatural schools. He's been out to be trained out in Bethel. He's worked with YWAM. He's come and ministered to our leadership team here. And he's recently written a book called Revolutionized by Grace. And I love how God does this, because I've been reading this book for probably 4 months. I just finished it this morning, so I know it's legit. And it's an excellent book on grace. Stephen has, he's smarter than he looks. Okay, I'll just tell you that. Is that a compliment?
I don't know.
I'm not sure if that was a compliment. Yeah, I don't know. But no, it's an excellent book. He's brought some with him today, and even ends with a testimony from Richmond, Indiana, when you were here at Gateway. So it was a really great time to read that and finish that. And I'm an author myself, so I know a good book when I read him. Stephen Bell and his wife Jenny live in Springfield, Ohio. They work with Riversong Church, and he is going to bless us this morning as he talks on sonship. You didn't change your message, did you? Kind of. Okay. He's going to talk on something, but let's give the Lord a shout of praise for Stephen. He's good?
Awesome. You guys are doing good? Man, it's so good to be here. Chris, when was I here last? It was last year sometime, or maybe a year ago, something like that. I love coming here. Love you guys. Love Pastor Chris, and just love coming here. You know, a lot, I actually have traveled a lot this year to go speak in different places, and probably more than I normally do with four kids. It's a little, all the moms are like, oh my gosh, you're traveling all over and speaking with four kids. Yeah, we're cutting back. We took it for a test run from January to May, and my wife and I are like, we're cutting back on the traveling a little bit. But you got to put family first. But what I was going to say is, you know, traveling all around, speaking in different places, and, you know, sometimes you go into churches and ministries and you feel the pressure of performance, you know, when you're going to speak. And when I come here, man, I'm like, oh, it feels free here. It really does. Like, I was sitting there like, I don't feel any pressure to perform here. I feel like I can just be myself. So that, I just wanted to tell you, man, it feels good here. Just, you know, feels like, Chris, you've done a great job. Just, yeah, come on. You know, so that's really good. So my wife is probably nursing the baby somewhere. You'll meet her, Jenny. She's here. She's going to run the book table later. But Jenny came with me. We've been married for 15 years. Yay, God. Ooh. Happily. Been through some stuff, but we are happily married. Every marriage has been through some stuff, right? But you keep going, you work hard, you love one another, you communicate. But we have four kids. We brought Judah, our son, and then our baby Scarlett and Jasmine, and Savannah stayed back with Grammy and Grampy. So you'll get to meet Judah and Scarlett. You got it. Scarlett was the one up here who was trying to climb up onto the stage. I was just telling somebody that Scarlett, she's going to turn one next year, and she just blows me away. We have to watch her closely. We have a swing set in our backyard with one of those plastic slides, and she, not even 1 year old, 11 months, she climbed that slide all the way to the top by herself. And I'm like, whoa, awesome, but we are really watching you closely. So we're like, yay, Scarlett. Okay, get her down from there really quick. So, but anyway, I love being a dad. It's a lot of fun. But really quick, so in the back, Pastor Chris shared about the book. It's this simple. It's broken down into two parts. Grace. Grace is not a theology. Grace is a person. His name is Jesus. He is the embodiment of the grace of God. He is the perfect expression of the goodness of the Father, Jesus Christ. And so this is a book that will free you from performance Christianity and bring you into a level of freedom where not only does grace transform you, but grace empowers you to be a change agent in the world around you. And so this is a really good biblical understanding of grace, because there's a lot of bad theology on grace out there right now. So that's $15. And then I have three teachings. They're just $2 each. It's Living by Promise, the Power of the Gospel, and Transformed and Empowered by Love. And you can get those at the end. And we cash, check, or credit card. We've got a little credit card, a little swiper thing back there. So, but I wanted to give this whole package away, the book and the three teachings. Here's the funny thing. I was in the bathroom. It's a good place to talk to Jesus. I was in the bathroom, and I said, I said, Lord, who do you want me to give this away to? And I kept hearing the name Mark, Mark, Mark. And then who's Mark? I met you in the back. Where are you? Right there. It was crazy. Literally, in the bathroom, I hear the Lord, Mark, Mark, Mark. I come out, and you're the first person I talk to right when I come out of the bathroom, and you're like, my name is Mark. I'm like, what the? Okay, so here, this is yours, man. The book and all the teachings. Bless you, man. Yeah, let me just pray for you. Is this your wife? What's your name? Aaron? Yeah, God, thank you for Mark and Aaron. Yeah, I just feel like the Lord is saying to both of you in this season, I know your name. I hear you. I see you. I know you. Prayers are going to begin to be answered. There's some specific things that you guys have been asking for. And I just feel like the Lord, he gave me your name because he's letting you know, listen, I see you. I hear you. I know you. I'm with you. Breakthrough, answered prayer, and favor. Increased favor on your lives in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Yeah. Come on. Jesus is good. Awesome. Well, I got to tell you a cool testimony. I'm not going to talk about evangelism this morning, but I really believe that the Holy Spirit is igniting evangelism in the church again. Like it's breaking out. It's igniting all over the world. You guys, how many of you have heard we've been talking about the billion soul harvest, the worldwide harvest of souls coming in like never before? And I'm telling you, it's already happening. It's already started. Like if you, like just in Prague, in the Czech Republic, there was the last few days was Awakening Europe. Thousands of people saved. My friend was a part of it. We're seeing people getting saved in Springfield, where I'm from, just not even in like crusades or planned, organized outreaches, just literally in lifestyle evangelism, people are getting born again left and right. And I'm telling you that people's hearts are open. There's been enough seeds that have been planted that people are open to the gospel. And they're actually open to get born again. I just want to encourage you with that, seriously. Like, and we're seeing it. But just this last week, I had a craving for a hamburger. Just to let you know how spiritual I am as a pastor. I had a craving for a hamburger, so I was like, well, I'll just go to Wendy's and grab a burger and get some lunch. And so I go and I see this lady walking on the sidewalk with a cane, and it looked like a kind of a homemade cane that she had made, and I felt drawn to her. How many of you have ever felt kind of prompted or this impression like, man, I need to go talk to that person, and then everything inside of you is like, I really don't want to do that because it's inconvenient and I don't want to get out of my car. Let's be honest, okay? Yeah. So I see this lady. I knew the Lord. There was no doubt in my mind that the Lord was prompting me to talk to her. And I'm like, do I really want to do this? And so I get into the drive-thru, and the Lord reminds me of my friend Micah Level, which he's a part of the story. He's a crazy, like Todd White type of evangelist. He just lives it. In fact, he just led 10 kids to the Lord like 2 days ago, just out on the streets, right there, just a circle of 10 kids. He's a hidden, wild evangelist. And the Lord reminds me of Micah and the way he lives his life. And it just gave me enough courage, because I thought of Micah and I go, oh, it's easy to preach the gospel and it's easy for people to get born again on the streets. because I thought of him. And it was enough faith for me to go, I'm doing it. So I chase her down. I jump out of my car. And good thing she didn't see me racing, or she would have thought I was stalking her or something. But I jump out of my car. I go up to her. Long story short, I say, hey, is there anything you need prayer for? She said, yeah, I'm trying to get a job. I'm homeless. I'm trying to get a job at Subway. I've already applied, but I have this injury to my hip and my back, and they won't hire me until the doctor releases me because it would be hard in her situation to get around. And so I prayed for her. God healed her right on the spot. She's sitting there. She's trying to find her pain, and she's like, I feel good. I don't feel pain. I love it when they try to find the pain and it's not there. I'm like, you can't find it, can you? She's like, no. And so then right after Jesus heals her, I think, let's introduce her to the one who just healed her. And so listen, this is the shift that's happening in our stream, in the body of Christ, where we're going after the supernatural and signs and wonders, and we want to demonstrate the kingdom of God to people in the marketplaces, that it's shifting from just demonstrating to proclaiming. We need to demonstrate, but we need to proclaim the gospel. We need to get back to the simplicity of preaching the good news of Jesus Christ. And so I shared the gospel with her in like 2 minutes, simple. And I said, you want to be born again? And here's the thing, you guys, that we're finding in Springfield, because there's sin cities and there's religious cities. Okay, sin cities are cities where nobody has any concept of church culture or the gospel. They're just kind of ignorant of the Bible. They don't know. You know, I would say that's places like San Francisco and L.A. and, you know, mostly where I come from on the West Coast. And then there's religious cities where everybody's a Christian, everybody grew up in church, everybody's heard the gospel. And listen, the honest truth is that's mostly what we're dealing with in the Midwest. And so here's the thing that we've learned, the Lord showed us. You can't ask people, do you believe in God? Because they all do. He said, you have to ask them, have you been born again? Because I'm telling you, when you ask somebody, have you been born again, you will know really quick if they have been or they haven't been. Because if they haven't been, they have no clue what you're talking about. Born again? They're like Nicodemus. What are you talking about? I'm going to climb back up into my mom's womb and get born? What are you? You're crazy. You know? I'm like, no, let me. And then we ask them, can we explain it to you? And they're like, well, yeah, because they have no clue what it is. So I'm telling you, when you share the gospel, ask, have you been born again? Well, no. What is that? Well, can I explain it to you? Yeah. I'm telling you, man, we are seeing more people coming to Jesus through that than any other way at this point right now. And so she says, yes. I said, do you want to be born again? She says, yes. And here we are right outside of McDonald's, and she prays to give her life to Jesus, gets born again right there. And come on, yay, Jesus. And I said, how do you feel? And she said, I just love people that weren't raised in church. How do you feel? She's like, I feel good. It's like a weight lifted off, man. I feel good. So now here's the other part of the story. How the Lord used my friend Micah to inspire me. 2 days later, or 3 days later, Micah texts me and he says, hey, what was the name of that woman that you just led to the Lord out on the streets? And I said, Leah. And he said, oh my gosh, I just met Leah today and I led her son to the Lord. So, so he runs into Leah again and her son, and same thing, talks to him about being born again, and he wants to hear about it. And then he, right there again on the streets, her son gives his life to Jesus. How many of you know God is pursuing humanity? God is pursuing. He's pursuing. And here's the beautiful thing is that you and I, we get to just join with God in the pursuit. That's our privilege. You guys, we don't have to. We get to. We don't, it's not obligation. We don't, it's like, oh gosh, I better do outreach. I better do evangelism. No, it's not doing evangelism. It's not doing outreach. It's we get to partner with Jesus. We get to partner with the pursuing Father who is still pursuing all of humanity today just as much as when his son was on the earth. He's pursuing, and we get to go, yes, Daddy, today, every day, I wake up, Papa, I say yes to the pursuit. Yes. Not only are you pursuing my heart, I need to know that I'm a beloved son and that you love me, not for what I do, but for who I am. I need to know that as a son, because how many of you know everything Jesus did was out of sonship? He didn't have to perform to get the Father's approval. He just knew he had the Father's approval. He lived from acceptance, not for acceptance. He lived out of sonship. His value system was in intimate connection with the Father. How many of you know he didn't find his value in walking on water, raising the dead, and cleansing lepers, healing the sick? Do you realize that? Like, that's not where he found his value. So then why did he do those things? Because all of those things were an expression of the Father's heart pursuing humanity. Okay, so I need to know that I'm loved by the Father, not for what I do, but for who I am. But then out of that sonship, out of that intimate connection with the Father, I get to partner with him in the pursuit to reveal what he's like to the world around me. I get to do that. You get to do that. And here's the beautiful thing. Here's the beauty of the body of Christ is that it's going to look like Jesus inside of you. You're not going to look like me. I'm not going to look like you. But the beauty is that is the uniqueness of what of the expression of Jesus in each other and recognizing that, honoring that, and just seeing the beauty of the unique expressions of God's heart in each one of us as a body. Isn't that amazing? So you get to be, your life is a unique expression of God like nobody else. Did you know that you are a divine original? Did you know that? You're a divine original. There's nobody else like you. You're actually God's favorite. What, me? How can I be God's favorite? There's all these people. You're God's favorite. See, you have to know that you're God's favorite. The person sitting next to you is also God's favorite. But you need to know, wow, I'm God's favorite. I touch God's heart in a way that nobody else does. I touch his heart in a way that nobody else does. It's foolish for us to try to be like somebody else. Do you know what happens when I try to be like you or you try to be like me? Is I start stepping into things that I don't have grace for. I try to look like you because I think, oh my gosh, I'm looking at that person and like I want to be like them. I want to look like them. And then I start trying to do that and then all of a sudden I'm living in frustration. Why? Because I'm trying to be something that God didn't design me for. I'm trying to step into something that I don't have grace for. Because you get to be you. God designed you. You are a unique expression of God. You are a divine original. There's nobody else like you. The world needs the expression of God that comes from within you. Come on. I'm going to get you excited here at some point. You guys are pretty quiet. Woo! Right, thank you. Yes, thank you. Thank you. I need an amen here or there. All right. So I asked the Lord, Lord, who am I speaking to? I don't do this every time, but sometimes I just feel led to, you know, when I'm going to speak to a group of people, I want to know who I'm speaking to. I want to know what the Father thinks about you. You know why? Because when I know what the Father thinks about you, then I can align my heart and my perspective with His. Isn't that good? So Father, who am I speaking to? This is what He said to me about Gateway Church. You are speaking to my delighted in sons and daughters. Listen to this. He said, you're speaking to my healthy saints. I was like, wow, I've never heard that before. You're speaking to my healthy saints. What does it mean that he's saying healthy saints? It means that you, I just have the sense that you guys have been through some bumps. You've been through some challenges. You've been through some stuff as a church, maybe even as a leadership. But the Lord is saying you're getting healthier and healthier. Like, you're healthy. That's how the Father sees you. And you, but not only healthy, you're healthy saints, which means you're coming into a greater revelation of your identity in Him, who you are. And then I heard this, that you're overcomers and champions. That's what the Father said to me. They're overcomers and champions. And this is what I felt like the Lord wanted me to declare over you. You are making more of an impact than you think. You are making more of an impact, Gateway Church, than you think.
Yeah.
That's good news. There we go. All right, now I'm getting you. Okay, I heard the Lord say this. Don't compare yourselves to other ministries. You are birthing a unique expression of my heart in the earth. And then I heard this. Keep striking the ground, Gateway. Keep striking the ground. Gateway, keep striking the ground. Why? Because you're right on the verge of major breakthrough. And I heard the Lord say major breakthrough in three areas. Finances, favor, and influence. Finances, favor, and influence. Keep striking the ground, Gateway. Keep striking the ground. And then I heard this. Get ready for new creative ideas to love your city on purpose. Feel like it's this mix of the Lord saying, keep doing what you're doing. You're on the verge of breakthrough. Keep striking the ground. But I'm also, as you're doing that, I'm going to begin to give you new creative ideas on how to love your city on purpose. Come on. So just really quick, I'm just going to do a really short message. Pastor Chris, I had two messages when I came here. I literally was like, I have no clue what direction I'm going to go in. And then Pastor Chris said something about being seated with Christ in heavenly realms. And I go, that's it. Because that was a big part of one of the messages. I was just kind of waiting. And, but, you know, I just want to share briefly, just, I mean, literally, like, I could probably teach on this for a week. So I'm just going to share just a short little version and hopefully stir you up towards something. Okay, I want to talk about heaven's mission. I want to talk about the apostolic mission of heaven, okay, which is to touch the world with the love and power of God, to touch the world. How many of you know, and I know Pastor Chris's heart on this, so I know I don't have to convince you of this, but obviously we're not meant to be a subculture within the church, but we are meant to be salt and light out there in society. Like, you know, I really believe that God is calling us. Yes, we need to gather. Yes, we need to be a family. Yes, we need to worship together and encourage one another and get equipped and activated. And all those things need to happen. You know, the Bible says, don't forsake the assembly of the saints, like coming together. We know that's biblical, but there's a purpose for why we come together. And one is family, because we're a family and we need each other. We need encouragement, but also so we can be commissioned by the Lord to go and to actually influence society with the gospel of the kingdom. Like, that is the apostolic mission on the church. And how many of you know, you don't have to have an apostle. We won't even get into the theology of all that, but you don't have to have an apostle leading your church to be apostolic. The whole church of Jesus Christ is apostolic. And why is that? It's because we're called to engage society with the gospel of the kingdom, with the kingdom of God. Just like Jesus. How many of you know Jesus is the prototype? He is the model for the normal Christian life. There is no other model. Like, he's it. If we want to look at what the church is supposed to look like in these days, we just need to look at Jesus. He's it. Like, it doesn't get any better than him. It doesn't get any spiritual than Christ in you, the hope of glory. Like, he's it. He's the prototype. He's the model. He's the example. And how many of you know, yes, he taught in synagogues, but Jesus shook the world up. One man in submission to the Father, like submitted to relationship with the Father and the purposes of the Father, and one man turned the world upside down. It's because Jesus knew who he was. He knew his identity and he knew his purpose. And I believe the Lord is bringing alignment. But here's the thing. We got to understand is that Jesus restored us to our original design and purpose. He didn't just come to die on a cross and raise from the dead to forgive us of our sins and give us the promise of eternal life to go to heaven. He actually restored our, as humanity, in right relationship with the Father, he restored us to our original design and purpose. And what is that? We find that in Genesis 1:1-3. And it's narrowed down to three things. Okay? The Garden of Eden. Eden in the Greek or in the Hebrew means the place of pleasure, the place of delight. Did you guys know that? The place of pleasure. Wow. So number one, here's the original design and purpose of God for humanity is number one is intimate connection with the Father. We were actually designed to be one with God. One with God. It actually says in the scriptures, I believe it's 2 Corinthians chapter 6, possibly in verse 17, I think somewhere around there in that neighborhood. It says that those who have said yes to Jesus have become one spirit with the Lord. Say one spirit. One spirit, which means we were designed for unbroken intimacy and fellowship with the Father. So intimacy with the Father. Number two, here's what we were designed for and our purpose is family. God said to Adam and Eve, he blessed them. And he said, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. And then the very next thing that he says, which I'm going to, is the third thing, is take dominion of all the earth. But I want to make a point that what are the two things that come that are foundational, that are key to the taking dominion or the influencing society with the kingdom of God is intimacy with the Father and family, community. This place of unity where we need each other and we come together. And because out of family, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and take dominion of all the earth. Where does dominion come from? Family. It flows out of family. The government of God is a relational government. It's relational. God, did you know that God is a family man? He's a family man, and he always has been. Did you know that God didn't become a father when he created you and I? He didn't become a father when he created Adam and Eve. He always was a father, and he created Adam and Eve because he's a father, not so that he could become a father. Did you get that? That's key. He's a family man. And so Jesus restored us to our original design, that is intimacy with the Father, family and community, and number three is dominion or the mission of heaven to engage society with the kingdom of God. Okay, listen, we were designed for those three expressions in our lives. You can't have one without the other. You've got to have intimacy with the Father. We know that. You've got to have family and community. Did you know that in terms of family and community, and how many of you know Jesus modeled, he's the perfect model of all three of those things. You say, well, how did he model family and community? Did you know that John the Baptist is not our model and example for sonship? Jesus is, because John the Baptist got the understanding of his purpose in isolation out in a desert, which he was the last of the old covenant prophets. And then Jesus comes along and he doesn't get the understanding of his identity and purpose as a son in isolation. He gets it in community, in a village where it says he subjected himself to Joseph and Mary. The Son of God, just think about that for a minute. The Son of God, sinless, born of a virgin, not born with a sin nature, subjects himself to Joseph and Mary and actually grows in obedience and grows in the understanding of his purpose from the Father in the context of community and family. Jesus is the prototype. The reason why I'm saying that is there's a lot of people out there who think that they can get the full understanding and revelation of their identity and purpose in isolation apart from the body of Christ. We need family. That's, sorry, prophets. Prophets in the New Testament are committed to community. Oh, gosh, did I say that? Man, some prophets would get mad at me right now. So Galatians 3, 26 through 29, it says, "For in Christ Jesus you are all sons of God through faith. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is no male and female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to promise." Listen, we are in Christ. Presently, I love what Pastor Chris was saying, that we've been seated in heavenly places. We are presently, right now, in this moment, in our imperfections and everything, in the process and the mess of life, we are in Christ Jesus, and Christ Jesus is in us. And we have, listen, we have been grafted into Christ. We have been grafted into oneness with the Father. Did you know that you're one with the Father because Christ is one with the Father and you're in Christ? You don't have to work towards oneness with the Father. You're already there. You're already there. So then what's our responsibility? If I've already been grafted into the Father, because I'm grafted into Christ, then what's my responsibility is to cultivate intimacy from that place. I have a responsibility. How many of you know I'm one with my wife? We don't get married every day. Remarried. Well, let's make sure we're truly married, Jenny. Let's get married again. How many of you know a lot of Christians are trying to get remarried to Jesus every single day, trying to put work into something that's already been done? Jesus is like, stop trying to get married to me. We're already married. Just cultivate heart connection now. So you've been grafted into the original design. The original design. The original purpose. Where is it found? In Christ. In Christ. So because you're grafted into Christ, you're grafted into intimacy and oneness with the Father. Because you're grafted into Christ, you're grafted into His body, which is family. Listen, even whether you like it or not, you are joined to every single person, not only in this room, but every other part of the body of Christ in the world. Whether we agree with their theology or not, we are connected and one with the body. You were grafted into Christ. You're not just grafted into the head. You're grafted into His body. And then the third thing is now you've been grafted into the mission and the purpose of heaven. You've been grafted into the mission and the purpose of heaven. And that is to engage society with what heaven is like, with what God is like. Now, we share in the inheritance of the Son. Gosh, I wish I had more time, but I'm just going to break off a few things. Okay, now open up your Bible to Matthew 16. I want to share just two quick concepts. Are we doing okay? We doing all right?
Yeah.
Opening up your Bible apps. Oh, we've got, I see a real Bible out there. Wow. Well, we've got a few. Man, revival's in the house. Okay, Matthew 16. I'm going somewhere with all of this. Say this. Say, I have been restored.
I have been restored.
To the original design and purpose for humanity. I have been grafted into Christ.
I have been grafted into Christ.
And I share in his inheritance. I mean, listen, guys, if we, like, here's what has to happen. This truth has to go from concept to conviction. Because how many of you know, concept won't move you into action because it's just information. Conviction will move you into action. Why? Because now it's heart belief. I believe it, therefore I live it. Okay? You share in the inheritance of the Son, and you didn't do a thing to earn it or deserve it. Woo! Matthew 16, verse 13. Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he was asking his disciples, who do people say that the Son of Man is? And they said, some say John the Baptist, and others Elijah, but still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. He said to them, but who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said to him, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. I also say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, or my ecclesia. I'm going to explain that here in a minute. And the gates of hell will not overpower it. Everybody say, yay, God!
Yay, God.
I will give you... Now listen, there's your theology right there for us to stop talking about how horrible the world is. Oh, it's horrible. There's so many evil, bad things happening. Jesus said right there that the gates of hell will not overpower his ecclesia. I'm going to explain that in a minute. We will always be victorious in the earth. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Say, of the kingdom. Not to the kingdom, of the kingdom. That's different. And whatever you bind on earth shall have been bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall have been loosed in heaven. Then he warned the disciples that they should tell no one that he was the Christ. Now let me share a little encounter that I had, and then I'm going to break this down really simple. About midnight, probably 4 or 5 months ago, I was up late just reading the Bible, praying a little bit. All Jenny and the kids had gone to bed, and all of a sudden I heard this noise down in my daughter's room. She was sleeping upstairs in another room, and I heard this noise, and I was like, what is that loud, annoying noise? And I was like, that's an alarm. How many of you love alarms? No hands go up. I hate them too. So I hear this alarm going off right at midnight. I go down to my daughter's room to check it out, like, why is it going off? And I look, and on the clock, it's right at midnight. And I go, and I turn it off, and right when I turn it off, I hear the Lord say to me, it's time, son. I go, how many of you know when he makes a statement like that, it's not for him, it's for me. So when he makes a statement like that, ask questions. You know, so I like, okay, Lord, it's time for what? And the Lord said, it's time for you to see yourself the way I see you. It's time, son, for you to see yourself the way I see you. And it was right at midnight. And then I knew, how many of you know, if God has to say that to you, that means you're not seeing yourself correctly in some areas where he wants to clear the lenses. So, okay, God, what are you wanting me to see that I'm not seeing? Because how many of you know the way you perceive yourself, how what you believe about yourself affects every area of your life. Every area. That's why identity is so important and so key in the church right now. I believe, God, we are in a time of alignment where God is aligning his bride with his declaration over us. This is who you are. This is, when I look at you, this is what I see. Stop believing lies. I believe literally God is like, stop believing lies about yourself. Start living in the reality of how I see you and what I declare over your life. I love what Bill Johnson says. He says, I can't afford to have a thought in my mind that's not in his about myself. That's a good word. And so midnight, so then I go, oh, so then the Lord shows me 12. There's something about midnight about 12, and I realize that 12 a lot of times prophetically symbolizes government and leadership. Government and leadership. So, okay, Lord, what are you saying? And then a few weeks later, the Lord, I'm driving, and the Lord says to me, son, it's time for you to govern at the gates of your city. It's time for you to govern at the gates of your city. Notice how he worded it that way. Your city. It's time to take ownership. Now check this out. So then I go into this. Now all of this is having to do with the mission of heaven. Our original design and purpose as the people of God. The children of God. Salt and light. Okay, so Jesus, number one, he said, remember, the beginning of this is the issue of who he is, what we believe about him, and what we believe about ourselves. And then he goes in, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. I also say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. What is the rock that he will build his church upon? Is it Peter? No. It is the revelation of who he is. The revelation of Jesus Christ is what he will build his church upon. The very identity of the Son of God, the beauty of who he is, the glory of the Son of God, the revelation of him is what the church is built upon. And then he says, I will build my church. I will build my ecclesia. That is the Greek word for church, and this literally means the called out citizens who sit at the gates. Listen, Jesus literally took this word, and it was a secular word, and do you know where he got it? I did some research and some homework. He got this word from Athens. In his day, in Athens, the ecclesia, they were the governing authorities who sat at the gates of the city in Athens. In other words, they had a place of influence at the gates of the city. He takes that word, the governing authorities of Athens, who sit at the gates of influence with authority, and he takes that word and he says, this is who you are, my ecclesia. In other words, he's saying, you're not just, most people believe that ecclesia just means called out ones. No, it is, we are called out, but we are the governing ones. We are the ones who sit at the places of influence in our city with authority, and we actually have a place of influence, a place of authority. Okay? Gates. Gates speak of places of influence. This is amazing. And it's in that understanding. It's in that understanding that we not only come into the revelation of our identity individually, but as a church that we understand, whoa, we are his ecclesia. We are his governing ones. We're not meant to just sit inside of a building and sing happy songs and have good sermons and hopefully fill the building because people are attracted to our program, which I know that's not Chris's heart. I just like saying it anyway. But we are called the ecclesia. We are called to actually influence society as the governing ones. Do you understand why Jesus came to me and said, it's time, son. Time for what? It's time for you to see yourself the way I see you. It's time to govern at the gates of your city. Listen, who is the owner of your city? Is it the devil? Is it demons? Or is it the Lord who sits above and not below? He is seated high above every principality and power. And you and I are seated with him there. And he's the owner of the city. He's the owner of our region. He's the owner of our nation. It actually says in the scriptures in Psalm 2 that God says to the Son, ask of me for the nations and I will give them to you as an inheritance. Are you following what I'm saying? If you have been grafted into Christ, which you have been, it's just a matter of you believing it, of us believing it, because I'm growing in this revelation. But if we have been grafted into the Son, the governing one, the King, we've been grafted into him. Therefore, we have been grafted into the inheritance of the Son. Everything that he has freely received from the Father, the kingdom, the nations, a seat of authority that's above every other authority and power, and we are in him. Therefore, we are dangerous people on this earth. Look to your neighbor and say, you're dangerous. Did you know that the enemy is afraid of you? I'm not just saying that to like pump you up. Like, he's afraid of you. Do you know what his biggest fear is, you guys? Do you know what the enemy's biggest fear is? Is you and I believing what I'm teaching us right now. I'm serious. I'm not saying that to puff myself up. Listen, this is Jesus. He's afraid of the body of Christ truly beginning to see. He's afraid of us beginning to see ourselves the way God sees us, to where it goes from concept to conviction to action. And he goes, oh, crap, they're unstoppable now. Why? Because they believe the truth of who they are. I've tried to lie to them as much as I could. I've tried to kick them while they're down. I've tried to get them to believe lies about who they are. I've tried to even get them to believe that I'm the owner of their city and they need to kick me out first before they can influence. Do you know how to get rid of the devil? Just begin to step into your identity and start governing with Jesus. We don't need to drive him out first. He will run when we start learning and understanding who we are. And we begin to step into our original design and purpose and start governing with Jesus from heavenly places. Okay, I'm gonna end with this story. There's two specific ways that we govern with Christ, with the King, with the governing one. The one, listen, and how many of you know we don't rule over people, we rule over darkness. We love people. Can I say, hopefully there's no kids in here. We love the hell out of people. And we govern and rule over darkness. That's who we are. Okay? That's who you are. It's not just for pastors. It's for saints. It's for all of us. And you're healthy saints because God says you are. So the two ways that we govern with the King at the gates of our city, at the places of influence, one is like what Pastor Chris said, is where we learn how to govern with him from heavenly places above and not below, principalities and powers. I'm going to share an encounter with you that's going to blow your mind. I think you can be stretched a little bit, though, right? You guys be stretched a little bit? Okay? And where we learn from the place of prayer and declaration and decree, that we actually begin to hear what he's declaring, what he's decreeing, and we agree with him on earth as he is declaring in heaven. He is the head in the heavenlies. We are the body in the earth. It's about time the body comes into agreement with the head. Okay, the second way that we govern with him is actually going into spheres of society, mountains of society. You guys have heard that teaching, right? You know, government, education, media, science, you know, religion, family, all the spheres and mountains of society where we actually go and we directly influence those places with the heart of Jesus. Okay, those are the two ways. And how many, remember, gates are places of influence. They say that there are seven mountains or spheres of influence that the church needs to go into those places and be the influence. Okay, so now I'm going to end with this on this whole thing of ruling and reigning with him from heavenly places. I was on a Sunday morning before our service, I was just praying and seeking the Lord to just ask him what his heart was for that morning. Okay, now I want to just tell you, before I tell you what happened before this, this had never happened before. Not like this. Okay, I had a dream once that was sort of similar to this where I was out in the cosmos, literally, I was out in the universe, out in the cosmos, just walking. And every step I took, clay formed under my feet as I'm walking among the stars and the planets. It was an amazing dream. I mean, you know, that's a cool dream. The Lord was in it. So in this encounter, I'm praying, and all of a sudden, the only thing that I can explain to you is that my spirit, it wasn't my body, my spirit was caught up into heavenly places. All of a sudden, I'm looking around, and I see Jesus right next to me, and I see stars and planets, and I see the earth below me. And I'm there, and I'm in this like training suit and a training helmet. And I'm like, Lord, why am I wearing this, and why do I have a helmet on? He said, because you're in training for reigning. Some of you are getting like, okay, I need, like, come on, man. I need some amen, something. Give a dog a bone here. Okay. So I'm in this training gear, and the Lord says, you're in training. And I'm like, Lord, why am I here? I mean, seriously, I'm like, what am I doing out here in the universe with you? What's happening? And the Lord begins to show me things to pray and declare over the earth. And then listen to this. All of a sudden, I'm looking down, and as I'm praying, the Lord's saying, declare this, release this over the earth. This was in a time of chaos right before the elections. Okay, there was massive chaos going on in the earth. And the Lord's having me declare and decree things over the earth. And then all of a sudden, right above the earth's atmosphere, this huge dragon-like creature moves. It was totally camouflaged before in the darkness. I did not see that it was there until it moved. It was this huge, gigantic, dragon-like creature that was a demonic principality, and I saw this thing, and it looked up because I was above it, and as soon as he saw that I was above him, he hurried up and tried to hide in the darkness again, scared, because he knew that I saw him. It was huge. Okay? And so then I'm sitting there, I'm like, what's happening? Like, what is going on? Why is the Lord showing me this? Why am I, what's happening? And the Lord spoke to me and he said, son, he said, many of my people are living below instead of above. They're allowing demonic influences, demonic powers, demonic principalities to influence their thinking because they're living below rather than above. And he began to show me this right here where you're at, above every principality and power in me. This is where you live. This is the seat of sonship. This is where you learn to govern with me and to declare and decree what I'm declaring and what I'm decreeing over the earth. And I realized that principalities and powers, once we understand who we are and we begin to relocate our mind, like actually are renewed in our thinking to live from above instead of below, they're actually scared of us. It's time for you to see yourself the way he sees you. Gateway Church. Come on. And here's the thing. What keeps us from getting puffed up? What keeps us from getting arrogant over this truth, this reality? It's because we know there was nothing we did to earn or deserve that place in Christ. See, we maintain this thankfulness, this gratitude, at the same time that we're learning to govern with Him. And we realize it is all about Jesus Christ. He is the prototype. He is the beginning. He is the process. He is the end. He is the victor. He is the King. And we have simply been grafted into Him. And we share in the inheritance of the Son. You are seated in heavenly places right now. You are above and not below. Say that. Say, I'm above and not below. Seated with Christ in heavenly places. Okay, you guys, this is the seat of sonship. Now, just a quick testimony. As I'm learning this to govern with the Lord spoke to me. And let me end with this really quick. Okay, in Revelation 19, it says that Jesus went out on a white horse, and he who is sat on it is called faithful and true, and in righteousness he judges and wages war. He judges and wages war. Okay, now listen to this. When Jesus goes into battle, He first makes a judgment on darkness, and then He goes to battle. Guess what we do? We go to battle, and then we hear from the Lord later. And then we wonder why we get all of this kickback from the enemy, and we start having demonic dreams. Is because, listen, Jesus judges and then wages war. We wage war, and then later on, after we're getting our butts kicked, we want to hear from the Lord at what He's declaring and judging. See, we got it backwards. I'm telling you, when we begin to govern with the Lord from heavenly places, we need to hear, Lord, what are you declaring? What are you decreeing? What are you judging on over darkness? So that I can agree with you, so that I'm waging war the way that the King is waging war. So guess what? When you're in agreement with King Jesus as He judges and wages war, there's no kickback from the enemy. It's illegal. He can't come at you. Why? Because you are in agreement with the King. I had the Lord, when we first moved back to Springfield, I had the Lord speak to me and said about the drug issue in Springfield, because we have massive, massive issue with black tar heroin and, you know, just the whole, I'm sure you guys have some issues here as well. It's getting worse in Springfield. Actually, we're having more overdoses than we've ever had and deaths, and it's just getting bad. And so the Lord, we're waging war, but here was what the Lord declared and decreed to us. This is what He said. Not to the ones who were addicted, to the kingpins, the pushers, the suppliers. The Lord said, They either get saved or they're going to jail. They either repent, they either get saved, or they're going to jail. So guess what? The Lord made a judgment, a decree. He spoke that to us, and I began to declare that publicly, and we began to come into agreement with heaven, and guess what started happening? We started seeing some of the biggest drug busts in Springfield's history after we came into agreement with what he was judging and declaring and decreeing. We had last year, like literally 2 months after we started decreeing what he had declared to us, we had the biggest black tar heroin drug bust in Springfield history, and then two more big drug busts following it. Okay, now we're still in the battle, but listen, I just want to encourage you that we need to just simply understand that we're seated in the seat of sonship and victory, that we hear the decree and what the Lord is judging and declaring, and then from that place, we govern with Jesus over the affairs of our city. Now listen, Gateway, you're making more of a difference than you think you are. You're making more of an impact than you think you are. Your prayers are working in ways that you don't understand. You are on the verge of breakthrough. Thank you, Jesus. Let's stand. Sorry, guys, that was a little long. We got to go eat. Hey, listen, eating together and family in the body of Christ is important, man. Got to get our feet on. Okay. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to just say this again. It's time for you to see yourself the way he sees you. It's time for you to see yourself the way he sees you. You are the ecclesia, the governing ones at the gates of your city. The governing ones at the gates of your city. I believe the Lord's going to begin to download strategy to you on how to influence your city. You already are, but I believe he's going to give new, fresh ideas on how to influence your city. Thank you, Jesus. So, would you put your hands out to receive? Thank you, Holy Spirit. I just ask right now for just a fresh wind, breath of the Holy Spirit to blow in this place. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, angels of heaven. Ministering angels all over this room. God, I just ask right now, wind of heaven, be released in this room. The wind of heaven, be released in this room. The Lord is accelerating things in many of your lives. He's accelerating things. He's accelerating things. Thank you, Jesus. Wow. Wow. Thank you, God. Yeah. Some of you, it's not the AC. Some of you might actually feel a physical wind blowing on your body. The Lord is accelerating things. He's moving things at an accelerated rate. What you thought would take the Lord a year, he's doing it in 2 months. The Lord is accelerating things. Yeah. Wow, I just sense the Lord just pleased with this body of believers. Whoa. This sense, I just see the smile of the Father. He's just pleased with you. He's pleased with you. He's pleased with you. He's pleased with you. He's smiling over you. Wow, thank you, God. Thank you, God. Overcomers, champions. Yeah, beloved sons and daughters, he delights in you. He has bigger plans and ideas than you guys could even dream up or think or imagine. Yeah, come Holy Spirit. Just bring refreshing. I just pray anybody who's been dealing with heaviness or just kind of a weight or a pressure, almost like fatigue. fatigue. Raise your hand. Just put your hands up if that's you. Just a sense of fatigue and like a heaviness and a weight. The Lord, I literally see the Lord. I see angels actually coming up. Didn't want to weird anybody out, but I see angels coming up and literally just lifting that off of people's shoulders. And the decree of the Lord over you is His yoke is easy and His burden is light. His yoke is easy and His burden is light. He just lift that heaviness right off of you in the name of Jesus. Yeah, thank you, Lord. Whoa. Ooh, thank you, Jesus. Yeah. Wow. Just sense the increase of the glory of God in this room. Increase of the glory of God in this room. Thank you, Lord. I will go with you and I will give you rest. I will go with you and I will give you rest. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. Wow. There's a couple of people here, you've been dealing with anxiety and even fear that's not normal fear. It's like just fear that's been trying to eat your lunch like a bully. I just command fear and anxiety to just come off of people right now. I just declare right now the Lord frees you from that oppression. It's not, I actually feel like the Lord saying it's not you, it's the enemy. It's not you. Stop believing that it's you. If you've been dealing with a high level of anxiety and fear, the Lord's saying, it's not you. It's not you. It's the enemy, the deceiver, the liar. He's trying to make you think that it's you, but really it's him. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. I just command anxiety and fear, go right now, off of people. In Jesus' name, thank you, God. Thank you, God. Yeah, just wind of the Spirit come. Wind of the Spirit. Wind of the Spirit. Just release your glory in this house, God. Release your glory in this house. Increase it, God. Increase it, Father. Increase it. You guys were made for the glory. You were designed for the glory of God. Thank you, Jesus. Wow, somebody's left knee is getting healed right now. It's been chronic pain, just it's been achy and stiff and giving you problems. I just declare right now, left knee, be healed in Jesus' name right now. Right now. Right now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah. Wow. Woo. Thank you, Lord.